Turn with me, please, in the Word of God to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, as we come to preach the Word of God that the Lord has laid upon our hearts for today. Some little time ago, since returning from Romania, this passage of Scripture came before my mind and heart. Many of my, I'm going to say sermons, but maybe certainly the softs come together late at night, and we have the opportunity of writing down some thoughts. And we did so, we thought of this passage of Scripture, and I want to bring a message to you this morning entitled Faithfulness in the Light of Eternity. Faithfulness in the Light of Eternity. You know, the Lord has given to us a work to do, and He has also given us the ability to do that work. And one day He will require it on the great day of judgment. And this is what the Saviour is speaking about in the passage that we're going to read. We're coming up to the gospel mission, just a month or so away, and there's a work to be done. And there's a work to be done not just by 6 people or 12 people or 20 people, but by all of the congregation. Every single Christian is here. And I trust that you'll see why as we read God's word today. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according as his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawn. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. But unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We trust the Lord will give us understanding in his word. Help us to take in what the Savior is teaching here in this chapter of Matthew 25. As we think of the servant of the Lord, the stewards of Jesus Christ, there are two words that are often associated with his character and his conduct. One is faithfulness, and the other is fruitfulness. One is a duty, and the other is a desire. It's also a duty, but we could look at it in the light of desire. It is our duty to be faithful. It is required in stewards, as Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 4 and 2, that a man be found faithful. It's required. The church of Smyrna, one of the two out of the seven churches unto whom the Lord Jesus through John had a letter to write unto, one of these two churches that received no direct rebuke from the Saviour, was exhorted in the midst of their suffering and trial, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And God is still looking for faithfulness in his dear people. We are to be faithful in all things, especially those things that have been committed to us by the Lord. And we are to be faithful every day, not just some days or the Lord's day, whatever day that we are religiously inclined. We are to be faithful every day, and we are to be faithful to the end. What a blessing it will be for the child of God to come to the end of the journey, whatever that end might be, and look back across the years that God gave to him in the Christian life, and be able to say with an honest heart before God, I have sought by thy grace to be faithful. So it's our duty to be faithful. It is our desire to be fruitful. To this end we have been ordained. We think of the words of the Saviour in the Gospel of John, and the chapter 15 verse 16, where the Lord says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. The true Christian is known by his fruit, says the Lord. How do I know an apple tree? By the apples that it bears. How do I know a plum tree? By the plums that are given on that tree. How do I know a Christian tree? See, a Christian is like a tree, described as such in the Bible, because the Christian bears Christian fruit. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? The righteous man, in the Psalm 1, is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And you can study John chapter 15, that marvelous chapter, Christ the vine, you and I as his people, the branches, and his branches were bearing fruit unto the glory of Almighty God. So there must be fruitfulness in the Lord's people. And if there is not fruitfulness, if there's an absence of fruit, then the conclusion must be drawn, we indeed are not the Lord's people. The good ground in the parable of the sower brought forth fruit. That was the evidence of a genuine work that was done. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30, but the one thing that was common was the fact that there was fruit born. Jesus said concerning the branches which are grafted into the vine, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So if you have been grafted in, you're a branch into the vine, Jesus says you will bring forth fruit. It's the evidence of a true work of grace that is done in our hearts. And there's three kinds of fruit, three main kinds of fruit. There is inward fruit. That's fruit that's personal. You can think of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and so on. That holiness of life, living for God, that's personal to you and I as individuals. And then there's upward fruit, fruit that we bear unto God. The book of Isaiah, I think it's chapter 37 and verse 31, speaks about taking root downward and bearing fruit upward. And there's fruit unto God as we live for him and his glory. And then there's outward fruit to the world around us, having that sweet and godly testimony, a winning personality, the joy of pointing others to Christ. What a blessing that is to be fruit-bearing in that aspect. It may be true to say that a faithful Christian will be a fruitful Christian because one follows the other. If you and I are faithful stewards in the service of Christ, well then we will see fruit born. If we're faithful to God, faithful to His Word, faithful to His throne, faithful to His house, faithful to His people, faithful to the souls of men, walking in this world aright, then I will be a fruit-bearing Christian. And the inward, upward, and outward fruit will be manifested. So I want to take up this subject of faithfulness, and we could include the word fruitfulness there too, faithfulness and fruitfulness in the light of eternity. Jesus is leading his hearers to a solemn day in the great eternity of God, that day when we shall stand before God in judgment, when our works will be tried, when our deeds of the body will be manifested, when we shall give an account of our stewardship. Let us remind ourselves that there is a judgment to come, not just for the ungodly who one day will stand before the great white throne of judgment, but there is a judgment of the godly, a day that has been set aside, and judgment must begin at the house of God. Now, I have wrestled many years with the administration of this judgment as far as the believer is concerned. I know today that we will never be judged regarding our sin as far as the sentence and the penalty is concerned. We have been judged in Christ, and that's a marvelous truth, that our Mediator and Saviour stood in our stead, and all that was due me as a sinner was laid upon Christ when He bore our sins in His own body at the tree. All my iniquities in Him were laid. All my indebtedness by Him was paid. And we can say Jesus paid it all. I'll never be in hell. Judgment will not God twice demand, first at my bleeding surety side and then at mine. We will, however, be judged regarding our reward. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works." Paul, speaking to the church, said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And the apostle made it abundantly clear that there was coming a day when every man's work shall be made manifest. "For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." He was writing to the Corinthian church. He was speaking to the people of God. He was telling God's people that one day the fire test will be applied to the works that we have done. Paul speaks about the works which endure the fire and receive a reward, probably represented there in the gold and the silver and the precious stones that men are building with. But there are also works which we have done, and clearly they have been vain works and sinful works, works that have been selfish, works that have been of the flesh, works that have been for our self-gratification and our glory, represented in all likelihood by the wood and the hay and the stubble that Paul mentions. These works are going to be burned up. That's what the scripture says. Paul talks about such a Christian. "He shall suffer loss." Doesn't mean he loses his soul. The context is very clear. "He shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved." So there's a suffering of a loss on that day. God have mercy upon us as we live our Christian lives. Think of the day when the reward will be given. And my friend, labor for it. But before the rewards are received, before the Lord makes all things new, and the tears are wiped away, as the Lord's servant was preaching on last Sabbath day, surely there's a time of accountability. There is a moment of reckoning with God. Doesn't the Bible make it plain that we shall give an account? Will there not be a sense of loss? Will there not be a moment when we will hang our heads in shame? When we, as the hymn writer says, will wish that we'd given more? Will there not be tears on that day, and regret, and a sense of suffering loss, as Paul says as he writes to the Corinthian church? "Then God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Then he shall make all things new when he says to his people, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jesus brings us to that very scene in Matthew 25 in the parable of the talents. Talents were committed to three servants. They were to use these gifts in the service of their master. He was taking leave of them for a time. He was traveling into some distant country with the intention of returning again at a future stage. When he returned, he called his servants to give account, to make a report about the work that they had done and how that they had used the talents that had been committed to them, and then the rewards are administered. The picture that is set forth in this parable is abundantly clear. Jesus Christ is the master in this story. The one who is the absolute owner of all people and all things. And in a very special sense, his church, his beloved blood-bought church. The servants are Christians, those who profess salvation. To them, Jesus has committed his goods. He has appointed them to work, and he has left important business for them to carry out. He himself has taken his journey. We know where he is today. He's gone to a distant place, to the right hand of the Father in heaven. And one day he's going to return. And he shall call us to account on that day, and rewards will be administered. Two of the servants were faithful men. They had used their time well. They had employed their talents in a profitable way. And so, therefore, it was declared to them. In the words that we want to take principally for our text, in verse 21, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And the same words repeated again in verse 23. So the words that Jesus spoke to the man who had five talents and gained another five, and then also again to the man who had two talents and he had gained another two. Jesus is still in his journey. He's in the Father's house, the place of the many mansions. He's preparing a place for us. He is interceding on our behalf, praying for us. And he is receiving the praises of the heavenly host. Soon he shall return, and we shall be summoned to stand before him. Don't you want to be among the number that is represented by the first two men? These men that received the well done of God. Don't you want to be labelled among the good and the faithful servant and receive the reward? If you're a Christian, surely that's your desire. And so I want to speak on this subject of faithfulness in the light of eternity. Faithfulness in the light of this day when we shall stand before our Maker, before our blessed Saviour indeed, and give an account to him as to how we have employed and used the talents that he's granted to us. You'll notice the distribution of the talents in verse 15. As the Lord tells this story, he says, unto one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, when he, that is Jesus, ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. The Savior has committed to each one of us talents. He has entrusted us with a work. In general terms, it's the Great Commission. That's the principal work of the church, to go into the world and preach the gospel, to go work today in the vineyard of Christ, to occupy until Jesus comes back again. And he has endowed his church with the talents to carry out this ministry. But in a special way, he has given into our hands, personally and individually, talents. To some he has given five. To another he's given two. And yet to another he has given one. And the distribution of the talents is by divine providence. The Lord has given to you and I that which He has done according to his will and according to our own several ability. Some men may be gifted in many ways. Others may have less gifts given to them. But the Lord has given us these things. If I have just one talent, I'm not jealous because somebody else has five talents. If I as a believer have five talents, I don't despise or look down upon the other person that has just the one talent. Because the administration of these talents is by the Lord, the Master. He is the one who has given to us the talents according to our ability. But know this, everyone has at least one talent. Every single professing Christian in this meeting has at least one. Might be the gift of prayer. We're ever thankful to the members of this congregation upon whom the Lord has bestowed the gift of prayer, who know how to pray, who reach heaven in their prayers, who see answers to their prayers. It may be the gift of witnessing, that personal contact with other people as you give them the gospel, and through that personal witness, souls are won to Christ. It might be the gift of giving. Giving's a gift, you know, as we'll see just in a moment or two. It might be the gift of encouragement. Thank God for those people who are an encouragement to the church, to the members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you encourage by the words that you say, and you help them along the way. It might be the gift of teaching. It might be the gift of preaching. And we know that some here have been given the gift of singing, and it's pretty obvious that others have not just been bestowed with that particular talent, but there are those who the Lord has blessed in such a way. It might be the gift of upholding the hands of others. We would like the encouragement that we've mentioned there. Don't we always thank God for the errands and the hers that are there to stay in the hands, to uphold in prayer? What a ministry. What a gift that God has bestowed upon those who are able to do that. Maybe the gift of hospitality. There are those that are amazingly gifted in such a fashion. And please note that all these talents divinely bestowed upon us will be required one day. We'll see that in a few minutes' time. Unto whom much is given, much will be required. Keep that in mind too. If God has given you five talents, he's going to require all the five on that day. If he's given you two or one, whatever he's given to you, he's going to require it. And if you've been given many talents, the Lord is looking for those talents to be used in his work. Never forget, all that we are and all that we have has been given to us by Christ. Has he given to you ability? Has he given intelligence? Has he given skills? Has he given to us houses, lands, a business? Has he given to us health and vitality? Has he given time, skill and leadership? Has he given us the gift of preaching, or the gift of singing, or the gift of languages? I've been to Romania 3 times, and I have to confess, I find it a very difficult language. And you could probably count on 2 hands the amount of Romanian words I know after 3 visits. But then we have our sister Noreen, and we're very glad that Noreen can speak different languages, and God has given to her the gift of languages. But where did they all come from? You ever think about that? What hand has bestowed these gifts upon us? Why are we what we are? There's only one answer to those questions. All that we have is a loan from God. God has given us these things. And let that truth sink into our hearts. Every single Christian here, without exception, has been bestowed with gifts from the Lord. Just to finish the point that I'm making, I want to read what Paul wrote to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 12. You'll know this passage about the body of Christ, and he speaks there about gifts that have been given. Romans 12 and verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, that's the preaching of God's word, let us prophesy according to their proportion of faith. Or ministry. Do you see that word ministry? Just to say, by the way, it's not referring to the ministry as far as the ordained preaching is concerned. It's actually a word that is talking about practical service, ministering to other people. Of course, that's what a minister is. Let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth. We said we would mention that. This is a gift that God has given, the ability to give. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. What does that mean? Let it be without hypocrisy. People say that they love, but they don't love. It's not in their heart. Let it be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. I think all these verses and others that follow are all to do with the gifts and the abilities and the talents that God has given to his people. So that's the first thing. There is the distribution of the talents. Everyone here, God has given you at least one talent. The second thing is the utilization of the talents. They are to be used. They are to be employed. Verses 16 and 17 of the passage in Matthew 25 tells us, he that had received five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. The fact that talents were distributed to the servants demonstrates that there was a work for these men to do. There was a business for them to engage in. They were to be employed in the service of their master. And two servants did very well. They were diligent. They were faithful. They immediately, it seems, went and traded. They put the money that they were entrusted with to good use, and they made a profit. The man with five gained another five. The man with two, he also obtained 100% increase. As a Christian, we are spiritual tradesmen. There's a work for us to do, a work for the glory of God and for the good of others. And the question must be asked, are you using the talents which has been committed to you by the Lord? I want you to think about that. I want you to answer that. Four. Maybe you've got two. Maybe you've five. Maybe you've even ten. Are you using those talents in the service of Jesus Christ? Because these talents were utilized. They were used by these men. And then just to hasten on to the third thought that came to my mind, the remuneration of the talents, or of the servants perhaps would be better to say there. Verse 19 of Matthew 25. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And as you read the next couple of verses, it's the same report concerning the man with the two talents and how he was blessed and how he was rewarded. There's coming a day, a glorious day, and the Lord shall return. We shall stand before him. We shall give an account. We shall tell him that day what we have done with the talents and how we have employed these talents in his service. To the faithful, a representation of all true believers, those blessed words shall be spoken. Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And a reward shall be made. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That these words bring comfort to every true child of God. What a blessing this is. The best Christian, in truth, is an unprofitable servant. There's no doubt about that. We are poor and frail creatures of the dust. We need the blood atonement every day. We need the cleansing blood every day of our lives. Yet one day we shall discover to our amazement, that our master's eye saw more beauty in our feeble efforts to please him than we saw ourselves. We will find that every hour spent in serving Christ, every word spoken on his behalf, has been written down in a book of remembrance. And the Lord will have something to say on that day. Well done. If we do well, that is. If you're not doing well, my friend, you will not receive the well done. But the Lord will have something to say to the faithful on that day. Well done, good and faithful servant. And he will have something to give by way of reward to every faithful servant. I want to hear those words, well done. I'm sure that's the desire of every true Christian in this meeting house today. I'm sure you noticed that there was one servant who did badly. This man, sadly, represents a large percentage of the professing church. I think it's more than a third. Certainly, as you read some of the Bible commentators, they will tell you it's more than a third. We're talking about three men here. One of them has done badly. And he represents a large group within the professing church of Christ. Jesus calls him, this is the word of Christ on the judgment day, a wicked and slothful servant. Jesus saw his heart. Jesus knew the true condition of the man. He was not only slothful, lazy, didn't employ the talent given to him, but really he was a wicked man at heart. He didn't truly know the Lord. He received just one talent, just one. He was only required to use that one gift from the master. But to his shame, he buried it. And when he gives account to his master, he speaks as if it was no great fault to have done so. But that's not the way that the Lord sees it. That's not the way the master views it on this day that the scripture speaks of. He was an unfaithful man. He was an unfruitful man. He failed miserably in his requirement. And what a reckoning. Well, to read the words of Christ. What the Savior says concerning this man, as we have it there in verse 26 onwards. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put thy money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that have shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The words of the Lord, as he represents himself on the great day of judgment. As Bishop J.C. Ryle, who said, to hide our talent is to neglect opportunities of glorifying God when we have them. The Bible despiser, the prayer neglecter, and Sabbath breaker. The unbelieving, the sensual, and the earthly minded. The trifler, the thoughtless, and the pleasure seeker. The money lover, the covetous, the self-indulgent. All are alike burying their Lord's money in the ground. They have all light that they do not use. They might all be better than they are, but they are all daily robbing God. He has lent them much, and they make him no return. The words of Daniel to Belshazzar are strictly applicable to every unconverted person. The God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Maybe there are those in this meeting today, you're unsaved. God has given you one talent. Oh, it's the talent of light and understanding, to know the way of salvation. But you're burying that. You're doing nothing with it. You're represented here in the story
that our Lord speaks not long before his death. And I say to God's people, do not neglect the talent that the Lord has given to you. Maybe you've got 5 talents, maybe you've got 2, maybe it's just the 1. Let us not merely talk about religion, but let us act. We are not told that the unprofitable servant was a murderer. We're not told that he was a thief or an adulterer. We're not even told that he was a waster of the Lord's money. He just did nothing. He just did nothing. And that was his ruination. Let us beware of a do-nothing Christianity. Such Christianity does not come from the Spirit of God. You see, true Christians are doers of the word. And so I say, in the light of the judgment, be diligent and be faithful. God has given you the talents. They must be employed in his work. The Savior has taken his journey. He's coming back one day. There is a day of reckoning. There is a day of accountability. You labor for the Lord and live for the glory of God in such a way so that you will receive the well done on that day from the lips of the Savior. And as we come to special meetings, that gives us special opportunities like the mission, let us make sure that we are employing those talents that God has given to us in his work.